Welcome to the IP 360 podcast, brought to you by IP Private Wealth. This podcast talks about wealth, health, and all the different ways we measure our success. It's a true 360-degree look at how we manage our wealth. Today is a Beyond the Ice edition of the podcast, and I'm joined today by Kent Manderville, private wealth advisor who leads the Hockey Family Office Division of IP Private Wealth. Kent is a retired NHL player with over 700 games in his career, which gives him a unique and firsthand understanding of hockey professionals and their finances. Today, Kent and I talk about how the family office model can benefit hockey professionals. For athletes, financial longevity is a unique conversation. Let's go to the interview. We're here today with Kent Manderville, former NHL player and private wealth advisor. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get right into it. We've talked on this podcast before about the concept of family office, but what is a hockey family office?
Well, really, it goes back to the origins of a family office, where you basically have a family that has a tremendous amount of wealth for whatever reason that chooses to insource its various advisory capacities. So whether it's accounting, estate planning, what have you. For hockey family office, it's something that I saw when I was playing from my experience in the NHL, and really something that I wished I had when I was playing. And basically, it's a board of advisors that has integrated and comprehensive wealth management for hockey professionals. And so it means different things to different people, but it's basically making sure there's no gaps in your game plan. There's no risks. There's no train wrecks that are hiding. Because I've seen in the past, whether it's from teammates, circumstances, or whatnot, that those train wrecks do happen. There are risks out there. And so this is a way of mitigating those risks and enhancing the value, the wealth of those hockey professionals.
And so with a hockey family office concept, if I'm a pro NHL player and I've got, let's say I've got an accountant I really like, or a lawyer that I really like, do I have to say goodbye to them, or can my hockey family office work with my existing experts?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one we find regularly. And the short answer is no. We're not in the habit of destroying perfectly good relationships. So happy to work with your professionals already. There has to be, it's one of those things that sometimes you don't know what you don't know. And so what we find, what we bring to the table with our unique perspective, whether it's my career in the NHL or after going through the CFA and CFP programs, is that we'll usually find and uncover a number of issues that need to be addressed. And so there are times that we bring in our own people in those capacities. But at the end of the day, it's getting the best people in line for that player, and whether it's a player or coach, but making sure there are no gaps in their situation, because it's a small window and we want to make sure that is maximized for them.
Can you explain, when you say that you've gone through the CFA and the CFP program, just make sure everyone understands what that means?
Yeah. So the CFA is the Chartered Financial Analyst designation. It's a rigorous program, considered the gold standard in wealth management. And so I've successfully passed those three exams there. So that was, it was a challenge, but well worth it. The CFP is the Certified Financial Planner designation, and it's more broad-based in financial planning. So with those two designations, it's provided the technical background on basically providing the tools that I can help clients with. And a lot of our team members have either of those designations, and they're really key and critical to be able to be using the information and the technical aspects of the job and applying it to the hockey professional's situation.
And when a new player is signed with a team, my understanding is that they can be kind of overwhelmed with solicitations and offers from experts, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is where, when I came into the NHL in the early 90s, there wasn't even salary disclosure. Nobody knew what others were making. And now It's obviously not the case where whatever you sign for, it's very much in the public domain. So with that, the money attracts a number of different people. And a lot of those people, they're not qualified. They may not have your best interest at heart. So I found it was really hard to find a trusted professional when I was playing, even back then, and the money was decent. So there's no question. People come out of the woodwork. They don't have your best interests in mind. And it becomes a challenge because how do you know what questions to ask? How do you know who to trust and who not to trust? My first agent I had, and this is on the player agent side, I had him for maybe 2 years. And I quickly realized it's not a good fit, but it took me 2 years to find that. And thank goodness there wasn't much damage done. But those are the challenge that the players have. And that's what we bring to the table is that best interest, that technical knowledge, plus the experience of having been there, done that.
Right. And so who's around that table in the hockey family office? Who, like, what kind of advisors do you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. So really it depends on what is required. So, and things change as you go through the evolution of a career for a player. It's different when you're on an entry level deal versus when it's on your second or third contract. It's different if you're married, if you have kids, what jurisdiction are you in? What's your tax situation? What's your risk tolerance like? There's all these different components that we have to keep in mind. But basically cross-border tax accounting, estate planning, risk management, and that could mean insurance solutions, of course, portfolio management. So when you basically have those disciplines that are required, what we bring to the table is an integrated approach. So the accountant's not saying one thing and the estate planning attorney is saying something else. And you have an accountant that maybe doesn't know the jurisdiction of Florida or California or Ontario. So that's where we act as the quarterback, the financial director for the player, reportable to the player and the hockey professional. And that's really the value added where we can actually oversee the various components of the financial plan.
That's really interesting. So I'm guessing, you know, a young player gets signed. It's exciting, you know, making good money, kind of living the dream, especially the Canadian dream. So the question would be, how do you know when you need to sit down with advisors? You know, the first little bit, I'm sure, is kind of just getting rolling, getting excited, spending a lot of time playing the sport. And the sport is probably pretty all consuming, right? So how do you know when it's time to sit down and have a real talk about all this 360 degree concept of planning?
Yeah, so I find when you're in your entry level deal, so a lot of players, whether they're from Europe or juniors or whatnot, you know, you get your signing bonus. You're starting in the American Hockey League, even at the NHL, it's, you know, it's $750,000, $800,000 US. It sounds like a lot. Then there's taxes. Then there's expenses. You have to pay your agent. You have to pay, usually guys will get a vehicle. They go from starving student or somebody with not a lot of money to having some money. So usually it's earlier on in the process. And I've talked to a number of younger players and they'll say, you know what, I'm going to be really careful with my money. I'm not going to spend it all. And that sounds great, but it's not a strategy. It's not a wealth management strategy. It's not how you preserve, protect, and prudently grow your money if you choose a less expensive car or you choose to spend less on rent or whatnot. So I think early in the process, it becomes a little bit of a realization that the game of hockey professionally is very different from what you grew up with. It is a business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. And because of that, you should treat your career, you should treat your earnings as a business. And such, you need professional advice. So I would say entry level, they kind of realize something's up. And then when tax time comes and they have to file taxes in 13 or 14 jurisdictions, it's a realization, I need help.
Oh my God, that sounds very intense.
Yeah.
So as a player, you know, I've spent all my time learning how to be really great at hockey. And I go into a room with these advisors and I don't feel like I don't understand a word they're saying. How do I cope with that? Is there a way to fix that gap in my, you know, financial education? How do I let people know? Is there a comfortable way to let people know, like, I don't understand what you're telling me? Because I hear a lot of people getting really nervous about, I have advisors, I have accountants, they're moving my money around and I don't really understand what they're doing to it.
Yeah, I think that's a common worry. And quite frankly, I think it's on the industry for it to be in that scenario, exactly what you talked about. So because of my background, and here it is, I went to Cornell University. I went to an Ivy League school. I was a business major. They did not teach me financial planning. They did not teach me wealth management. So when I signed my contract, anything from taxes to portfolio management to risk management, anything like that, it was all brand new to me too. And so because of knowing what that's like, and I did a lot of reading, when you're a pro athlete, when you're an NHL player, it's intense, it's busy, but there is downtime. And I spent a lot of time reading about this, asking questions. And so our approach really is to help educate the player and the hockey professional. No question is dumb. We need them to be engaged. We don't want someone to say, you handle it, call me when it's all done, I'll see you later, I'm going to go golf. We need the player to be engaged. Just like when you go to a nutritionist, they're not asking you to put up polymer, links and protein and everything like that, but you need to know what's going into your body because you're accountable if you're getting a drug test. It's the same thing with us. We educate and empower players because an engaged player, an engaged hockey professional is a satisfied hockey professional because they understand what we're doing and why. So we encourage questions. No question is dumb, but we want to make sure that they understand the concepts of what we're doing, because at the end of the day, it really is in their best interest.
What are some common mistakes that you've seen with hockey professionals when you finally do get to meet up with them and talk to them about their finances? What are some of the most common mistakes that you've seen?
Common mistakes, as I think people in the hockey industry, I think they get blinded and lulled by the money. And I think it's a little bit like the boiled frog syndrome, where you slowly turn up the temperature on the frog and they don't notice the temperature changing initially until it's too late. And then it's too late to act. The frog's dead. So with a hockey professional, the money's coming in. They're super busy. They have all these people pinging them. They can afford things. The cash flow's great. But the challenge is that your window of earnings is very short relative when you look at your lifespan. So it's a short window, but it's easy to get lulled in the short term. You got your money coming in. You're not contemplating what it's like at the end of your career, about the cliff in earnings, about what you're going to even do. I don't care if you have 50 million, 100 million in the bank. What are you going to do after? What's your purpose? And those are the conversations that we have in addition to the financial planning, wealth management. What's your purpose? What drives you? And so for players, while they're in it, while they're busy, and rightfully so, because there's a lot of pressure with it, we find that a lot of people are ignorant on tax planning, estate planning, risk management, huge areas where there's potential train wrecks. And we've seen some really messy planning going on. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. There's a huge opportunity for us to help educate and help these hockey professionals.
Yeah. So Kent, you've touched on something really valuable there. So the office is not really just about the nuts and bolts, you know, dollar in, dollar out aspect of wealth management. You're talking about like a whole lifestyle wealth, right? Like thinking about who you are now, you know, your limited time outside of hockey, and then what you're going to do later when you have more and more time outside of hockey, and your purpose. You're talking about purpose as well.
Absolutely. So when you look at our process, and everything at our firm is about process, we're a very process driven firm, but we go through a process called the IP 360 Pro, and IP stands for Integrated Planning. But it really is that full 360 that touches on the various aspects I mentioned, whether it's tax planning, estate planning, risk management. But you touched on a very important thing too, and it's just in general wellness and career transition. So like I said, it's great. You have all this money, you've done the right things financially. But one thing that we've really found, and I struggled with it myself too, when I had the transition, is what gives you purpose. We go from a scheduled, very scheduled itinerary life. I remember trying to show people when, you know, you'd actually show them the itinerary for a game day. And it was like, you know, 9:30 bus, 10:30 on the ice, 11:30 meal, nap from 2 to 4, snack. I mean, it was almost like primary school where everything was laid out for you, but that was normal. And that's what you did. And it was preseason, play your regular season, go in the playoffs, you're back into training in the off season, rinse, repeat, and away you go. And it's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. Am I getting a contract? This is my contract year. It's really easy to get caught up in the day-to-day while really neglecting your true, like your mental wellness. Where are you with your family, your relationships, with your kids? How does that all work? And those pieces absolutely affect your wealth and your health. And we address those. And one thing I've been very comforted by is the NHL Alumni Association is doing a great job by focusing and highlighting these areas. And so I've had discussions with people that are advisors to the NHL Alumni Association to get our players and our hockey professionals to have those relationships as well. But that's the kind of proactive approach we need. We don't need, I've had former teammates have tough times, and it really can be prevented with some foresight and some proactive steps ahead of time. And that's that unique perspective that I bring to the table. And that's a 12-year, 16-year NHL professional career. And that's the value of it, where I can help the next generation of players really navigate those difficult waters.
See, so that's really interesting because, you know, players on a team would be very close and rely on each other for, I mean, you're spending, like you're saying, your whole day together. And you know, you're traveling together. So it's a tight knit group. So when you get advice from, or a suggestion on what to do with your money or what to invest in from a teammate, it must be hard to step away from that peer pressure and go, I'm not sure. Especially if you don't really know financial matters that well yourself. Right. And they're excited and you're kind of like, oh, well, I don't want to let them down. Let's do this together. Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's sometimes the most vocal guys in the dressing room with regard to whether it's stock picks or financial planning or whatnot, it's not always the best advice. So it's interesting, some of the concepts, some of the ideas that have kind of been shared with us of what players have heard in the dressing room. And, you know, sometimes it's good, but a lot of time it's really suspect and you have to kind of shake your head at it. But I think you bring up a good point is when you have that camaraderie, to some degree, there's a bit of peer pressure. But on the other hand, it's also that support group. And so when guys retire, when guys are done with the game, and usually it's the game is done with you first, is you lose that. You know, myself, I was kind of lazy with keeping in touch with friends, with teammates and whatnot. And it's easy to lose those contacts with guys that you normally would see every day. And you would work out with them, you'd work hard with them. And there's a camaraderie there that is so powerful, so strong. And when you're out of the game, you're out of the game. Like, that's it. And if you haven't maintained those friendships, those relationships, it's a strong support that has been removed at a very vulnerable time. Couple that with income going to zero, and then you start having maybe some pressures at home and some friction at home. And I mean, I remember at the end of every season after playoffs, my wife would jokingly say, you know, shouldn't you be out at the rink or something? Like, kind of get out of my hair a little bit. But the reality is you have to kind of get your own equilibrium at the end of every season. At the end of your career, it's very difficult to navigate that without that support system. So that's a real good point. And that's something that guys don't think of when they're playing.
So just for fun, we're going to go into on another episode. We're going to talk at length about this. But what is something that that players could be doing early on? Like, we're talking, you know, whether or not they've been playing for 4 months or 4 years or a decade. But what could they be doing right now to prepare themselves just in general? It could be financial, but it could also just be kind of in life. How do you sort of like start to set some good seeds for post-playing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So first of all, on the financial side, I would say you really need to partner with someone that understands the industry. They should have a fiduciary duty. You should know. And when I say a fiduciary duty, they should have an obligation to have your best interests first and foremost. You should know how they are paid. Absolutely critical. You don't want hidden fees. You don't want under the table, anything like that. You need it to be documented. On the transition, and this starts, as you said, early in your career, I would encourage guys to be reading books and understanding the world at large, whether it's newspapers or news sites. Be interested in the world at large. Understand what interests you and what doesn't interest you. Take some time, carve out some time to pursue other interests. It's been shown, they've done academic research on that, that professional athletes, when they have other interests and pursue other interests, actually helps their performance in their professional duties. And the reason why is psychologically, it creates a little bit of a buffer where you can always escape from the pressure of your chosen profession. So when you have other interests, other pursuits, I think it sows the seeds of interest in other avenues beyond the rink. I went to school. I left Cornell after 2 years. I was going back to Cornell during the summers. I went to classes at Duke University. I went to University of Toronto. That was a challenge, but if a player can do that, that's also helpful. Even as you're getting to the end of your career, look at possible internships, reaching out to people while you're playing. You'd be amazed how people would love to have a coffee with you, go for lunch. I think those kind of proactive measures are really helpful. But again, on the flip side is, be very careful about people that want to get you involved with real estate deals or restaurants that serve their hidden agenda. So you really have to be careful on who you're reaching out to, but those are ways that I would suggest for players to at least start the conversation.
Right. And with a hockey family office to back them, they can take those meetings and bring back all of the proposal to your team of advisors, and you guys can vet it, right?
Absolutely. This is something that is critical where, I mean, you look, one advisor just got sentenced to 17 years in prison for basically stealing from a number of players. And it was to, one of the things was to invest in a golf course in Mexico. You have all these fraudulent enterprises, and players are just seen as patsies, quite frankly, a source of funds. And so that's something where we ask all players, if somebody pitches you on something, let's have a conversation about it. We can look at it. Ultimately, it's their money, the player's money, but we're definitely a strong sounding board for things that they are looking at. And we provide that critical eye, asking some really challenging questions.
Okay, and I'm going to ask a question the elephant in the room, I think, is there for some of us who like to spend money. So working with you guys to better manage our wealth for future, you know, future longevity and making it spread over a whole lifetime, am I still going to get to buy some fun things?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all relative too, right? Because we're not the ones, you know, we don't have a beeper on your card where if you pull out your credit card too often, that there's going to be like the screeching alarm. It's a conversation. I mean, you have to enjoy life too. I mean, life's for the now. We need to live life. But one of those things that you have a conversation, there needs to be an awareness to say, and it's always easy to scale up versus scaling back. If you're used to living the good life when you're playing and you're spending, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 a year, and at the end of your career, you don't have enough capital to sustain that spending rate for very long. Well, that's a conversation that should be had early on. So I think you have to live life and you need to balance that. But that goes with regular conversations and say, hey, where are you here? Like, let's have this this dialogue to say, what's your goal? Is this sustainable? Is it not? With, you got to enjoy life too.
So just to kind of wrap up here, because I realize I didn't ask you this yet, and people may be wondering if they haven't already looked you up on Google. Do you want to tell me a little bit about your career path through hockey?
Yeah, it's like everybody, when they go through hockey, it's varied. But I basically, before I went to university, I played in Notre Dame in Wilcox, Saskatchewan. And then I went to Cornell University for 2 years, played in 2 World Junior Championships, and that was a wonderful experience. 2 gold medals, played in the 92 Olympics, 4 Team Canada, won a silver medal there, and then turned professional. 12 years in the NHL, over 700 games played with playoffs, a lot of fun. And then I went over to Europe, 3 years in Sweden, and 1 year in Finland. That was a wonderful experience for not only myself, but my family as well. And then made the transition like all players do, came back to Ottawa. But really through my career, it was really just bugging me. How can I find a trusted professional that knows this stuff? And it was something that I had a challenge with and I couldn't find. I ended up doing it myself. And it was a real challenge. So when I retired, I made it my mission to really focus on this service for players, for hockey professionals. And so that was really the career arc. So on the technical side, I finished my business degree at Cornell and then went through the CFA and the CFP programs to making sure that I wasn't just a salesman trying to sell guys on something. I wanted to have a robust technical knowledge base to be able to service clients properly. So it's been a long haul. We're at IP Private Wealth, and our division is the Hockey Family Office. You can find us at hockeyfamilyoffice.com. And to set up a quick phone call, they can just go on the Contact Us tab on our website and we can start the conversation. And it's no obligation. It could even just be a quick chat. This is where I am. What do you think? But it's a service that I definitely knew was needed when I played and is still needed. These guys deserve it. It's something that it's a pleasure for me. It's a way for me to give back to the game, but it's been a lot of fun.
All right. So that's a great wrap up, but I think we all need to know one more thing before we're really confident about working with you, Kent. And that is hockey night. You're sitting at home watching your favorite team. What jersey are you wearing?
Well, my kids tell me, Dad, don't tell people who you played for. It's probably shorter if I told them who I didn't play for. So I'll dodge that and I'll just say nothing better than watching just a great hockey game. I love watching the current crop of superstars, whether it's Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews. I mean, this young group of kids that they have coming up, it's really fun. So I just love the game of hockey. That's what, when I was a little kid playing on the outdoor rink or street hockey, I have a passion for this game. So like I said, this is a way for me to give back. Absolutely love it. And I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough, Kent. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to our next one.
Thanks a lot, Jordan.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the IP360 podcast, Beyond the Ice Edition. If you'd like to reach out to Kent and his team in the Hockey Family Office, head to hockeyfamilyoffice.com. You can also head to ipprivatewealth.com for more info on the IP360 philosophy to wealth management. See you next time. And now for the fine print. The opinions and statements expressed by our team are effective as of the date of this broadcast and may be subject to change.